grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the next 2 weeks, we're wrestling with this question, what's next? What's next? And with this idea of taking the next step. And the verse I want to put before you this week and next week is this from Psalm 92:13, that those who are what? Planted. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will, what will happen to them? They will flourish. Don't you want to flourish, right? That just sounds good. When we are planted in the house of the Lord, we will flourish in the courts of our God. And so the image that I want you to have is to be planted, to be established, to be rooted in God's word. As Julie just talked about, being abiding in Christ, abiding in God, so that we may have this abounding joy as we flourish in the house of God. Talking about a place where not much flourishes. This is a picture of Death Valley, all right? So when you hear the name Death Valley, what do you think of? Death, right? There, yes. Perfect. That's what I was going for, death. It just looks dry. It looks desolate. It looks like, you know, nothing can live there. But every once in a while, in the midst of Death Valley, when there is a time of rain, when there is a time of rain that covers Death Valley, it doesn't happen very often, but when it rains an inch or two and the Death Valley is filled with moisture, you know what happens? They call it a super bloom, all right? That this place where there is death, that there are seeds, there are plants that are just waiting, just underneath the surface, waiting for the right circumstances to bloom, to flourish, to grow. And I think about this in our own lives too, that sometimes we're in a different situation. Sometimes spiritually, we may feel dead inside. Spiritually, we may feel there's not much growth. But God wants to create in each one of us the circumstances where we bloom and we grow and we flourish. In fact, I think that's one of my jobs as a pastor, to help you guys get in the right circumstances through sermons, through Bible studies, through mission opportunities, through connecting to other people and other missions, so that each one of you can flourish and bloom. And so I think what I want you to see is Death Valley wasn't dead, was it? All right. There was the potential there to bloom. And so it was just dormant, waiting for the right conditions to bloom. God has placed a desire in each one of us to connect to Him in a very real way. That is, as much as we might chase and pursue other things in this world, there is one way for us to be planted and to flourish and to bloom, and that's when we're planted in God. We're planted in the Lord. And so each one of us, we're all in different places in our life. We're all in our different places in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're all in a different position in our spirituality, you know, from just kind of getting started in our faith, to growing, to being a disciple who makes disciples. Today, I want you to kind of consider, where are you at with your faith walk? Where are you at, you know, in not just knowing God, but living out a faith that bears fruit? And so I'm going to give you some steps that maybe it's an opportunity for you to take that next step. And so I want to look at this passage from Ephesians chapter 1. I love Paul. He has a real heart for his churches. And in the beginning of this letter from Ephesians, he pours out his heart with this prayer. He prays for the people there in the church in Ephesus, and he keeps asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he give them something special, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, a spirit that opens their heart and their eyes to not see the ways of this world, but to know God better. To know God better. Paul has a desire. He knows that the more we understand about how much God loves us, it changes us. The more that we abide in Scripture, the more that we abide in our Christian hymnody and Christian songs, the more we abide in fellowship with other believers, the more that we see Jesus in word and sacrament, it changes us. We grow. And so Paul is praying that they may know Jesus better. But he also prays that the eyes of your heart, did you guys know that you had eyes in your heart? All right, normally you think you have eyes in your head, but the eyes in your heart, all right, this is that being able to see things spiritually. All right, without the Holy Spirit, we are spiritually blind. But God, Paul is praying for his people that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened, maybe be opened, that they may know what? The hope into which God has called you. You know, hope is something, again, that Christianity, not Christianity, a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have the religion of Christianity, but to have and to know Jesus and follow him, it fills you with hope. Because all too often, I think sometimes in life, we are looking at this life through the wrong lens, all right? Sometimes we're looking through the lens, we're looking at our pain, we're focusing on our past, we're remembering our hurts, we're focusing on our problems. And when we focus on those things, it weighs us down. Because if you're honest with yourself and others, are you dealing with pain right now? Some of it might be physical, right? Some of it might be relational. Are there some things in your past that it's really hard to let go? Maybe you're mad at God because of that. Maybe you're mad at somebody else and you're holding on to that hurt that happened in the past. Maybe right now, instead of living with hope, you're focused on the overwhelming problems that you're in the middle of right now. And Paul says, don't focus on those things, all right? Focus not on the past, on the problems, on the pain, on the hurts, but he says, focus on the hope. Focus that in Christ you have a purpose. God has given you a purpose to be called out of the darkness of our sin and into his presence, into his love. Actually, God calls us to focus on something else, to focus on our Savior. So I don't know if I've ever been to a dog track. All right, I never have. All right, I'm not sure if I want to, but if you've ever seen, you know, a dog's race, they go around a track, and it's different than a horse race, because who rides on the horses? You have jockeys that ride on the horses that can motivate the horses to go, that kind of can direct them with their legs and which way to go. With dogs, there's no one to kind of guide them. And so what do they have going around the track? You can kind of see this white thing right here, right? All right? It's kind of like a rabbit, ant, bird kind of like thing that when the gates open, all right, what do the dogs see? They see that, I'm hungry, all right, that's food. And they, what do? They chase it all the way around the track. And so it goes and the dogs chase it. Well, I read a story about one time the mechanical rabbit broke, all right? It broke, it flung off the thing, and the dogs didn't know what to do. And so the dogs kind of responded in one of three ways. Some dogs, they just sat down right where they were at. you know, the thing that they were chasing is gone. They didn't know what to do, so they just sat down right where they were at. Others, they turned and all of a sudden they saw all the people gathered around them and they started barking, woof, 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 all right? However a greyhound barks, okay, I don't know. But others, they didn't know what to do, so they, in their mind, they had to get that rabbit. So they crashed to the side, they crashed wherever they saw pieces, and they actually hurt themselves trying to get this goal that they couldn't find. I think sometimes we, like those dogs, we have these things that we're chasing. We have these dreams, we have these worldly passions, we have these hopes that aren't founded in God, but they're founded in ourselves. And so often the things of this world, they let us down, right? If you've ever been chasing a dream and all of a sudden it goes away or your dreams are shattered, then all of a sudden, what are you living for? What are you chasing and pursuing? I think it's so important for us not to chase and pursue the things of this world, not to look at and focus on our pain and problems, but to remember God who loved us so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. We look at the cross and we're reminded that God sent his son, Jesus, to set us free. To set us free from our pain, to set us free from our sin, to set us free from chasing after the things of this world, that when we have Christ, what do we have? We have everything. When we chase after and pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ, loving him and loving others, we have joy. And so God says, you don't earn your salvation. You don't do anything for it. Because on the cross, Jesus has done the work for us. Jesus has paid for our sins. Jesus has defeated death. He has conquered the powers of the devil in this world. And even when they put Jesus' lifeless body in the grave, he rose. Jesus has overcome, that all who have faith in him overcome as well. And so we focus, we chase, we pursue Jesus, our Savior who died on the cross for us. And so when we know this hope, when we have this, what we really have is this glorious riches of the inheritance of his saints, or the inheritance, you know, in all of God's people. I love this, that this inheritance isn't just something we have as individuals, but where do we find this inheritance? In the saints, all right? Who are the saints? I know it's hard to believe, but it's the people next to you, all right? You are all saints. You are all God's holy people washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, and we have this richness in Christ together. And I keep going back and back to this theme that we are better together, that when we are isolated, when we are separated from others, it's to our own detriment, that there is power and strength and opportunities to both share and to learn when we are together as the body of Christ. And so I want to just encourage you, as John says, or Jesus says in John 15, to our Father's glory, bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, to take what we have received, to be planted in God, flourish so that our lives may bear much fruit. So kind of in summary, these steps that I've kind of talked about, where are you at? Are you just at the beginning of your faith walk? To know God, to trust in Jesus Christ. As you place your life in his hands, there's freedom, there's joy in Christ. Maybe you're searching for that freedom and joy and seeking Christ. Or maybe you're wondering, you know, what am I here for? To know that God has a purpose and a plan for each one of you. Or maybe you're saying, how can I make a difference? I know that I have a purpose. I just don't know where to start. And to find a place to serve, to pour into other people, to make a difference. And so I want to kind of close with this illustration. My daughter can testify to this. When I'm driving, I love to talk to other drivers. Do any of you do this? All right. Sometimes when you're sitting at the Talmadge Circle, all right, and you see a gap, you say, all right, go. All right. You're telling the cars in front of you, all right, go. All right. And when they don't go, gah! Yeah, I don't. I kind of do that sometimes, don't I? Yeah, all right. So I remember one time I was sitting behind a red light and ready to go. And I noticed that the car in front of me just had another driver, but they were kind of hunched and looked down. Have you ever seen that, all right, behind somebody? What were they doing? They were on their phone, all right, texting or whatever, all right. And the light turned green, okay? In my mind, all right, am I nice, Andy, or am I Andy? And, all right, do I just wait patiently, or what do? Honk the horn, right? To say, all right, get up and go. And so, you know, sometimes you can just lay on the horn, or you can just do a nice beep, beep, right? Just to remind you, all right, it's green, go. Usually I just go to the beep, beep, all right. But today is my day where I'm sitting behind all of you guys. I'm saying, beep, beep, all right? Take the next step, all right? Beep, beep, don't stay where you're at. Beep, beep, go. Go to know God, to find your purpose, to find in Christ and make a difference. You can't just grow in Christ by staying where you're at. You need to be a part of something. You need to do something that may make you uncomfortable, all right? Like, oh, Financial Peace University. All right, yes, exactly, Financial Peace University. This is such a great program, okay? And there's more than just this, you know? But this is a chance for us as a congregation to be better together. Yes, it's a little uncomfortable. Yes, maybe there's people that you'll be in a class that you don't know. But sign up today, all right? Take the next step. Or maybe your next step is finding a place to volunteer. Talk to Peggy Hill about Pregnancy Center. Or each month we have a different people coming up to say, we're doing these different ministries. Take a step. Make a difference. Produce faith in Christ. Dig deeper. Be planted in God so that you may flourish. This is my prayer for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy that you have given us in Christ. Help us to find ways to grow in our faith, to care for one another, and to share the love of Jesus Christ in our community. Lord, I pray that in our own lives, in our service in this church, that we may be a people growing, caring, and sharing, taking that next step, being sent into to gather a harvest, trusting in you, Jesus. I do pray for our Financial Peace University program here at TLC, that everyone may participate, that it's something that everybody can get something out of, young and old, retired, young families, empty nesters. And maybe it's not something that we get out of it, the program, but there's a relationship that you're preparing for us to grow and being better together. Maybe we're going to be a part of it so that we can help somebody else. Maybe there's somebody who we can give an opportunity to bear fruit and to serve. Help us, Lord, to prayerfully consider taking that next step of faith that we may bear great fruit for you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. At this time, we give our gifts to the Lord, and freely have we received, and freely we give.